This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
This will be a busy hour, by the way. Told you that the Kevin Keats, Wolfpack, get ready to go tonight in the NIT. You're here from Coach. And then later on, Jeff Walz, who yesterday saw his team trail 25-7 in the first quarter and went, eh, no problem, let's go. And they did. Punched their ticket to Sweet 16. And so we'll have coaches on this hour. But let's talk about the men's Sweet 16 coming up Saturday and Sunday, Jordan, because two teams still left from the ACC, but two completely, totally different styles. And with Florida State, they're starting to get back to their roots again with great, great defense. That athleticism, length, waves of players, they have size. They're a problem matchup. And Michigan, I think, is going to find that out on Sunday. But, boy, I tell you what, the Noles are playing good defense.
Yeah, Pack, and that defense has really been a difference. It takes away the advantage the opposition typically feels offensively when you've got versatile pieces with length that can switch everything, and that eliminates the opportunity. And most teams say, well, if you're going to switch everything, we'll take advantage of mismatches. But there's none presented because of personnel from 1 to 5 on Florida State's floor that they can employ at any time going 11 deep. Are like-minded athletes that are high IQ guys. So to lead with defense, to have 11 scoring options and all of them being capable of going for 15-plus makes it a numbers game. Well, you don't need to rely on just one guy like a Buddy Boeheim to go off and hope a few other guys play well. You have 11 different options, and that's truly what it is. Koprivica plays well. Gray plays well. You go down the list. Obviously, Polite led the way in the last matchup with 22 points. So Florida State is playing peak Florida State basketball. We saw it at moments this year, so we know what they can be. Consistently, I think they're starting to put that together. They're still inching towards being the best version of themselves in this tournament.
If moving forward, again, the biggest word in sports, I say it all the time, is if. If Florida State can possess the basketball, and you give me games in which we don't see 25 turnovers, 18 turnovers, 20. Yeah. If they get that cleaned up, if they get that cleaned up, defensively, they swarm you. They swallow you whole. They are a problem. I don't care who they're playing. They will present a problem on the defensive side. But, Jordan, if they can just clean up the turnovers and just say, we're going to give you the X amount of possessions just because we just kicked it all over the court, they're going to be a tough out. I'm just telling you. I don't care who they're playing. It could be number one Michigan. It could be number one Gonzaga down the road, for argument's sake. Bama, a 2-seed. I don't care who it is. But if they can clean that part of their game up moving forward, I tell you what, it'll take some kind of effort to knock this team out. They've got all the pieces, everything checked off, except they get inconsistent and a bit sloppy with the basketball at times.
Yeah, Pack, and it's sloppiness, right? Because some of it's unforced errors. It's not necessarily a defense that turns you over immensely, and Michigan's not a team that's going to turn you over a ton, but they're one of the nation's most efficient defenses. So it's positioning, it's contesting, it's some pressure, but it's not overwhelming pressure. I think it's more look within for Florida State to be good with the basketball. I don't think Michigan's going to impose their will on you pressure-wise to lend to turnovers. So that should mitigate itself in this game. Speaking of mitigation, you've got size and personnel that can match up with the mismatches Michigan presents with their size typically. You won't have that luxury versus Florida State. Florida State has Koprivica, 7-foot-plus. Ingom, 7-foot-plus, coming off the bench. Hunter Dickinson, 7'2", and has utilized that height to play to mismatches all season long, aside from a few big guys in the Big Ten that have been able to match that. Florida State can guard man-to-man down low. They will not have to throw doubles at Hunter Dickinson unless they so choose. They won't do it because they have to out of necessity. They'll do it because they want to throw different looks. So now Hunter Dickinson, who's a good inside interior passer to the outside and a willing passer, will not have that situation that's ideal to him where double comes, I definitely find 4 skilled shooters outside, and we pummel you. They'll play man-to-man defense, and they'll be able to change everything. Franz Wagner, 6'9" for Michigan on the perimeter, enjoys a ton of mismatches, won't have that luxury against a tallish athletic front line like Florida State. Florida State is the tallest team in college basketball. So you're taking away those advantages, you're mitigating the difference there, and it becomes a very even game. If there's a team that matches up with Michigan, it's Florida State. That's why I think this game's going to be magnificent to watch.
Yeah, I said yesterday on radio that of the eight games that we've got coming up on the men's side this weekend, four Saturday, four Sunday, if you could only watch one, this is the one I'd pick. Again, you can choose, and you only get a chance to watch one game. This, to me, is grown men only, right? I mean, you got athletes, size, you got pedigree, you got teams that are thinking, hey, we're going to win the national championship. It's us. This is the game. It's Florida State and it's Michigan. And I know with Livers being out, that hurts. But listen, they stepped up. They took a blow by LSU over the weekend, their last game, in which LSU, with all their scores, had them on the ropes for a little bit. But they responded because that's what Michigan does. I've been impressed with them all season long. Of course, I was impressed with the Big Ten all season long. That's why we keep score in March. Michigan's the last one standing. I'm also curious to see how they handle that pressure. I mean, the Big Ten has been the biggest flop, if you will, at this point in time in the tournament. 9 in, only one still standing. Seeds 1-1, 2-2, and 4. Hey, they're the last one. So there's got to be a pressure on Michigan to go, holy mackerel, we're playing here in the middle of Big Ten country in Indianapolis. We're the last one standing. We got to close the deal. And here comes Florida State. Well, I still think a chip on their shoulder from a year ago where they felt that, hey, you know what? That was a Final Four team. We didn't get a chance to play. Now we get a chance to show off. So should be a great, great basketball game.
Yeah, Pac, I'll do you one better as we're distributing the pressure tag here to certain people. How about MJ Walker? I mean, this is his team. He's waited for this long to be the leader, the guy, and at points coming into the season and early on in the season, he's a player of the year candidate, deservedly so. He's still an immense talent, but he's dropped off 5.5 points per game in the last two in the tournament. This is the money-making time. He's an immense talent. And the beauty of Florida State is they've been able to win despite his lack of scoring production. But I would imagine in a stage like this, a game like this, that MJ Walker rises to the occasion and becomes a lighthouse of sorts offensively, most especially in a half-court setting and beyond the arc.
Yeah, I asked Anthony Plight, who joined us earlier this week, that same question about, and MJ's been awfully quiet, and I thought his answer was great because it tells you the mindset of their team. You know what? We're getting after people defensively, and MJ's our leader. And so, again, that team plays as one. I mean, they really do. It's not a matter of who gets the points. The object is to absolutely strangle the life out of you, win the game. Let's move on to the next one. I think that's their mindset, and Leonard's done a great, great job doing that with that team. You don't have to have the minutes. We don't care who makes the scores all the baskets. The object here is to stop somebody, and that is what they're doing right now, as well as anybody in the tournament, and that's why that game Sunday is going to be terrific. Now, while we talk about all this defense with Florida State, the other ACC team in the Sweet 16 is Syracuse, and you think just the exact opposite. Yeah, you know, that zone causes problems. We've talked about it, but Buddy Boeheim is going lights out, and I think the other point here with all this, yeah, Buddy's been great, but you know what? They've got the other offensive pieces of guys kind of like Florida State that on a given night, you don't know who could give you 15, right? And Florida State's going to need that, though, to knock off Houston. That's a talented group.
It's a talented group who really guards, who plays at a feverish pace, who blitzes the backboard every time a ball goes up. When they are making shots, because it's where they really struggle from the outside, if they're also making shots, they become even more dangerous. It's a smallish team, but it's a team that is unrelenting on the backboard, and that's where Syracuse is very vulnerable. I love the point you made, Pac. It is true. Of course, Buddy needs to go off. It's what's gotten them there. But if it was just Buddy and four non-scores, Buddy wouldn't be able to get off to the degree that he has offensively in these first two. There's got to be other guys that say, hey, you have to respect us from the outside too, so don't throw the kitchen sink at Boeheim because we'll hurt you. Now, Houston may lean all the way into that and say, hey, Buddy, you know, we're going to take you completely out and see what the other guys can do. We are going to blitz three guys at you and see if Joe Girard can consistently make shots like he has in this tournament. Can Quincy Guerrier continue to be a guy like he has in this tournament? The most underrated player on that team and in the ACC and up there in college basketball, because the numbers aren't gaudy. He walks into a place that's not Austin O'Connor where you're like, oh, this guy's about to break some things in here. It's Marek Dolezal. Marek Dolezal is under 200 pounds and is 6'10". Marek Dolezal has elite vision, a high IQ. He competes. He deflects things. He gets his hand on balls. But they play through him. And so he is as big a piece to everything as Buddy Boeheim to a degree because of the boxes that he checks. And if you ask Coach Boeheim, he'd agree. People need to really hone in on what Marek Dolezal brings because he's paramount to the success of Syracuse basketball.
And, you know, we did a segment last week about unsung heroes on the show where we picked somebody on every team that was in the ACC that's in the NCAA tournament, of the seven teams. And I picked Mr. Griffin from Syracuse because he is a guy that, quite frankly, you're not going to sit there and go, hey, all right, we're going to really shut this guy down tonight. But he can go off. He can make threes. He can score. And it wouldn't surprise me that if Syracuse wins this game Saturday and gets into the Elite Eight, somebody else other than Buddy Boeheim also needs to have one of those kind of games where you go, wow, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and where did he come from? Syracuse, I think, has got that in their arsenal. You don't know who the guy is going to be, but that is another one of those missing pieces that if it appears on Saturday, Syracuse is going to be in business. And now the question is, who is it, and is that going to happen?
Yeah, but the beauty is there's a lot of viable candidates, right? Like you mentioned Griffin. What I love about Griffin's game, having done a bunch of them this year, is all I saw was a catch-and-shoot guy early on. But he's an athlete who can fly around, too. He's good at getting his hand on some deflections, getting in a passing lane. He's blocked some shots that have been, like, high-level blocks that are, like, put it on the highlight reel. But he can be a guy that rebounds from his position and has an impact there. Defensively, he's grown a lot for this team. I think he can be that guy that goes off for 20, like your Sam Pack may be needed, but also a guy that does some of those little things along the same way as I kind of speak on a Marek Dolezal. Like, Alan Griffin has not exploded in this tournament. He very well could in this Sweet 16 matchup. Again, it's a really good defensive unit from Houston. How they defend Buddy Boeheim will kind of tell the story of what opportunities are out there for the rest.
Jordan, as we get to the Sweet 16 for the men, would you rather have a really good offensive team or a really good defensive team right now, moving forward?
I get offensive team because I think there's still some nerves that come with shot making on the other side. You can't win games in the 40s in the tournament. You can't. You're going to need some offense. You're going to need a shot maker in turbulent times when you need to generate that rhythm. You're going to need a guy to go to. At the end of the day, offense does win championships. The old adage is false. Like, if you go off offensively and you're okay defensively, you're going to win this thing. If you're elite defensively and struggle offensively, you're not going to go as far. You're going to need that guy that can get you a basket in those frenzied times consistently. So a defensive guy who led his school in shot blocks, it's hitting the quota of mentions here very late in the show. I still think offense is the way to go and will win the games ultimately.
Well, that's the reason I ask you that question. I think when you take inventory of the 16 teams still left and you try to envision, all right, how's this going to happen? You see a team who can score, right? I think that you really do. Yeah. In this day and age, you know what? You see, hey, can we beat Gonzaga? They're the number one team, for argument's sake. Well, guess what? You're not beating them 54-52. That's not going to happen. You got to be able to put the ball in the basket. And Florida State, again, you hope that defense can swallow whole, create some easy opportunities on the offensive side. And for Syracuse, the same thing. Hopefully that zone can cause enough problems to slow things down. Buddy stays hot and somebody else jumps on board too.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Jordan, yesterday, right after the show, I had a chance to touch base with Kevin Keats because the Wolfpack's in the NIT, fresh off their win against Davidson, and got right into it with Coach because tonight they jump on Colorado State and ask them point blank. The good news is your team has earned the right to be there.
Well, you know what? I'm excited. You know, when you get into the NIT, you just never know how your team's going to respond. A lot of teams that think that they could have been an NCAA team, sometimes they don't play well in the NIT, and everybody says, well, that's why you shouldn't have been in the NCAA. But our guys, I thought we came out with great energy. We played a great Davidson team and obviously had a lot of success. And now we've got another really good team. They're number one seed, Colorado State, tremendous schedule that they played. They've done a great job, and it'll be a good opponent for us.
You know, I want to go back to Davidson before we look ahead to Colorado State later on. The fact that he was an in-state rival, per se, and I know you don't see Davidson a lot, but Bob McKillop's a tremendous coach. They're in-state. Did that help in terms of saying, hey, listen, we're not going to lose to somebody in the state. We don't want to lose, period, but we're not losing to somebody in the state of North Carolina.
You know, it's weird because we've talked about possibly playing Davidson since I've gotten here, and it's just never worked out. And it's funny that we had to go all the way to Texas when we could have just met and played. But no, I think our guys understood the magnitude of the game, being a state school, also being an opportunity just to advance and play in postseason. And, you know, Pac, we're excited. You know, a lot of teams are packed up and they're preparing for next year. Our guys are playing really good basketball. We're excited about playing. We're happy that we got invited into the NIT. When you talk about 16 teams, you know, wasn't a lot of spots, and we're privileged to be here.
Coach, I think half the battle when you get to this tournament is the want to, right? The mental makeup of, hey, listen, like you said, yeah, we all want to be in the NCAA tournament, but guess what? We got another opportunity to go do what we love to do. This is why you work so hard, especially during a COVID year where everything was difficult. I think you find out almost immediately what teams want to play and what teams are ready to just say, hey, I'm ready for spring break.
Hey, listen, no one had the opportunity to play in postseason last year. And so now when you look at, you know, I didn't want to go 2 years without having an opportunity to play in postseason. And the strength of our team completely shifted. You know, we went from having a Devin Daniels and Thomas Allen, which are older guys, to now playing Cam Hayes, Shaquille Moore, and DB. And so it's been refreshing for us. I'm excited for our seniors and DJ Funderburg and Braxton Beverly. And then we've got a group of guys in the middle, which is Jericho Helms and Manny Bates. And all of those guys were pumped about playing. You know, I went to those guys back before we accepted the invitation and say, listen, I can understand it's a tough year. I won't judge you guys if you don't want to play in the NIT. Just let me know. And those guys, the older guys, which is the guys I talked to, say, absolutely, we want to be a part of it. And I'm glad they decided it.
Yeah, no question about that. And, of course, the seniors want to go out in style. That's a given. But it's also a great opportunity for you and your staff to say, hey, guess what, boys? We're already looking at 21 as well, so let's go start and build right now as opposed to having to wait later in this fall and this winter.
Yeah, everything that we're doing now is building towards the future. I think our young guys are getting great experience. We're seeing how we can adapt to getting to postseason. As you know, the season, postseason is completely different than the regular season. If you stump your toe, the season's over. And so we have to make sure that our guys prepare and learn how to win in the postseason. And, you know, I go back to say this, and I know I've said it a couple times. I'm just grateful that we got an invitation to play in a tournament.
So what do we know about Colorado State going into this? You mentioned they're the top seed in this region. There's a lot of folks in ACC country going, I don't know anything about Colorado State other than that Steve Adazio is the football coach there, leaving BC to head out west. So what do we know about these guys?
Well, very talented. They run a tremendous offense. I feel like we're the team that's playing against two great offenses when you talk about Davidson and Colorado State. They spread you out. They do a tremendous job on the offensive end. Their best player, 6'6 post, dude's tremendous. Reminds me, back when I was at Hargrave, I had a kid named Sam Young who played for Pittsburgh. He reminds me a lot of him, can score inside and out. On the defensive end, they make you work for every shot. They make you make shots. They run pack line. They sell out to protect the paint. They do a tremendous job of doubling in the post. And, you know, it's a really good basketball team. They're well coached. They can shoot the ball. They got two explosive guards. And so we have a tremendous challenge in front of us.
Coach, who do they remind you of in the ACC?
Say that again, Pac. I'm sorry.
Who do they remind you of in the Atlantic Coast Conference?
I would say defensively, I would say both Clemson and UVA. Really tough to score on. Really, you know, pack the paint on you. They do a tremendous job of limiting you to one shot. So I would say defensively, I would say those two teams.
You know, you played so well down this stretch. I know the ACC tournament exit wasn't what you were looking for. I also believe that's probably a pretty good catalyst for this club. When they said, hey, we still want to keep playing, You probably had a smile on your face knowing, hey, guess what? Nobody wants to end that way, especially when you're playing your best basketball late.
Yeah, you know, Pac, we won 6 out of 7. And I think we would have advanced had we not played against Syracuse. Their Syracuse zone with the personnel that we had really bothered us. And you know, congratulations to Syracuse and Florida State, the way they're playing in the tournament. But our guys are refreshing, and we talked about this. We said, hey, we didn't want to leave out on that note the way we played against Syracuse, because we'd won 5 straight games going into that game, and we just didn't want to leave that bad taste in our mouth.
By the way, I know you try to find ways to kill time. You're studying, getting ready for Colorado State later on today. But watching the tournament, what have you learned from this tournament from the men's side in the NCAA tournament in terms of how crazy and upside down we've got to the Sweet 16? What does that tell you about this year in college basketball?
It was a tough seeding thing for the committee because, you know, everybody didn't get a chance to play the same amount of games. And on any given night, it shows me that anybody in that tournament can beat anybody. You know, there are 2 elite teams who are playing great, which is Gonzaga and Baylor. But other than that, I think the field is completely wide open. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a national champion that nobody predicted.
You know, I think the NIT seeding is probably similar too, isn't it? I mean, the fact that you're not a 1, given the way you have been playing, in fact, you were the lower seed against Davidson, for crying out loud. And you know what? Doesn't really matter once you tip that thing off, right? That number beside your name means nothing.
Yeah, but Pac, we looked at it. They're going to be 16 teams. We're going to have to beat a bulk of them to get to the championship and to be able to win a championship. And honestly, this year, I think you can throw seeding out of to the wind. It didn't matter. If they would have made us a 4th seed, we were excited about playing.
All right. What's the best thing about Frisco, Texas so far? Break it down for me. Frisco, Texas.
Well, we got here late last night, and I can tell you the best thing now, as soon as I can get out and I can walk. The weather is about 70 degrees. Last week I was in Denton when we were here. And I'll tell you this, you'll love this because you know I'm a shoe guy. So I went and I looked and see could I find some cowboy boots. I did. I didn't buy any. But oh. I did go try to find some cowboy boots to see if I liked any of them.
Oh, I thought for sure you're going to take me down the path that we can't wait to watch tonight and come watch you come out there with some hot red boots. I thought for sure but you know what? You may still surprise me. I don't put that past you that you give me a little smoke screen, fake left, go right, backdoor layup on this one. It would not surprise me to see you walking around some boots before this thing's over with.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny or confirm that right now.
Well, listen, I appreciate you joining us. I know Wes Wishes is here. He's under the weather a bit, but he'll be back and rolling here pretty soon. But keep on rocking and keep on winning.
Well, Pac, this show always goes much better when it's just me and you instead of Wes. So thank you for having me on.
You got it. Keep up the good work, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Kevin Keats getting ready for Colorado State. And I tell you what, if Coach comes out in some red boots down there in Frisco, Texas, all bets are off, right? It would not surprise me, though, with Kevin Keats. He's something else.
He is something else. I'll tell you, having been on calls with him several times, he's become a friend. He's a great guy, great representative of the university. And I've done some of those games with Wes, so we're on calls with Coach. Man, to watch Coach go in on Wes, the relationship those two have, the self-deprecation, the jokes volleyed back and forth. No surprise he had to get the shot in with Wes not here before he went. Yeah. I love it. I'm sure it brought a smile to Wes's face, too.
You got it. By the way, just a reminder tomorrow, speaking of ACC coaches, Steve Forbes, head basketball coach at Wake Forest, the Demon Deacs. These boys are right here. These guys right here. Coach Forbes will be the co-host tomorrow. He'll make his debut as a co-host on the show tomorrow. So 3 hours with Coach, and hopefully we get Wes back on Monday. Good to go, healthy and 100%. So for Wake Forest fans, listen, we'll be breaking down basketball left and right tomorrow with Coach.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
What are the challenges leading up to 7 o'clock on Sunday night being in San Antonio?
Well, first off, I think we're day 8, and day 10, I think, is when they'll help us with laundry. So the first challenge is I won't have to wash my drawers in the sink, hand wash them. And then I've been using the blow dryer, Kent, to make sure that, you know, I get them good and crisp. So they'll actually do some laundry for us, which is a wonderful thing.
Jeff Walls, post-game comments.
You love it.
I do. It's classic. And with that said, let's go check on the coach after a crazy day yesterday. There he is. I can hear the faucet in the background in the sink running, so I guess everything's clean and we're good to go. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. We are doing great. Everything's as clean as it can be right now. We're actually going to have to pack up. We get to actually pretend like we're going to the Sweet 16 now because we have to move hotels. So we're moving out of this hotel, and we'll move into a different one that later this morning.
Well, you know what? You had to realize now as a two seed, the object was we were just weren't going to hang around for a week. You got to pack accordingly. Now, you've been down this road before in Sweet 16s and making Final Fours. You know what? A couple pairs of drawers not going to make the trip here. You got to go deeper than that.
But you know what? I thought I had enough. I thought we were actually going to be able to use the coin laundry machine here in the hotel. I brought my pods. I've got my quarters. I was all set. But then there was this thinking, I guess, that I could get the COVID virus while I was taking things out of the washer to put them in the dryer at the coin laundry here at the hotel. So we weren't allowed to use that.
Unbelievable.
Hey, Coach, I'm just gonna throw something at you. Superstitious ones, maybe keep the same underwears on and rock them all the way through to a Final Four. This is something to think about.
Well, now, I mean, I'll think about it for a second, and that's about as long as I'll think about it for.
All right, well, let's talk about something you were not probably thinking about, was being down 25-10 at the end of the first quarter. What is the mindset of your group, which proved to be a championship-caliber team, to come storming back? It would wait to the second half. But when you're down 15 at the end of the first quarter, what is the conversation there?
Well, we really just talked about we've just got to chip away. It's, you know, we had talked before the game, it's 8 5-minute stories. And what's our story going to be at the end of the game? And, you know, after the first quarter, I told him our first 10-minute story was a dumpster fire. It was absolutely terrible that we just turned the ball over. And then you've got to give Northwestern a lot of credit. I mean, they had some kids make some shots that we were challenging them to make. And then when they started making them, then we realized, okay, we have to change some things up. But just really proud of the fight that this group showed throughout the second, third, and fourth quarter, because we had our opportunity to fold, and these young women did not do that.
Coach, don't you think you've been down this road before. Don't you think you need a game in which you don't have the A effort and you just find a way to win? I mean, we hear the term survive in advance all the time in the tournament when we're talking about the men or the women, but it just seems like everybody's going to have one of those days where guess what? Other team plays well, things don't go well, and you just have to find a way. You figure it out, and that's what championship teams do.
Yeah, you know what? We had that same thing in our first game against Marist. They jumped out on us. We're up 9 at the end of the first quarter. And then we switched up some lineups and played a little bit different style of basketball than we had played all year. But what we've got to do is figure out a way to start the games faster. Obviously, my two pregame speeches were poor. The last two games, we're going to have to switch those up. And then just get something, because we cannot come out – on Sunday against Oregon and play the first quarter the way we played the past two games. But the fight in these players is really impressive. And, you know, as I've said, we do have some young ones that this is their first time through this, and the experience that they're gaining. I thought yesterday's game, just to see them in the locker room after the game, just the joy in their face and to realize, hey, okay, now we've got to improve in some areas. And we've got their attention now. And looking forward to sitting down this morning and watching some film and trying to iron some things out.
Well, Coach, maybe your pregame speeches aren't very good, but the halftime speeches must be fire. So there must be something really good you're doing with the halftime speeches, because you're turning it on in the second half. I look at Kiana and I look at Dana, and you talk about not having a lot of experience tournament-wise, and granted, Kiana, her tournament experience came from Cal, but Dana's was there with you guys at Louisville. How important is it to have two of your best players who know what it takes to advance in this tournament?
It's really important, and the big challenge is, this is why I've told them all, even Kiana and Alana Smith, that, you know, Alana played at UCLA, and then obviously Kiana at Cal. It's a different expectation, because now I'm like, guys, everybody, you're expected to win. You're the two seed. It's just a different mindset, because you're not going into games where, hey, nobody expects us to win. Let's just go play. There is some pressure on it. And I thought Kiana really stepped up big for us. I was really happy with how Dana handled herself on the floor in last night's game. You know, she can impact a game in so many different ways, and it's not just scoring the basketball. And I thought her body language, her leadership was where it needs to be for us. And then to watch Haley Van Lith, Olivia Cochran, everybody else really stepped up and played big.
By the way, I got a double dose of good news for you. Number one, you're still alive and kicking. Oregon is next, and Sabrina can't play. That was an incredible game back in November of 2019. A little different Oregon team, but still very, very talented. I know you're in and up for the challenge.
Oh, yeah, it's a very, very good Oregon team. They've been playing really well. You know, their starting point guard has been out, and it's taken them a little bit of time to get adjusted to that change. And now they're playing some really good basketball. At this time, when you get to the Sweet 16, I've said this since year one. You know, once you get to this, anything can happen. I mean, you've a ball bounces off a foot here or there, a call goes your way or a call goes against you. There's a lot that goes into this, and you've just got to make sure that you've put yourself in a position where you're giving yourself a chance to win. But you know, just it's a great feeling. It's odd for sure, just for the fact, you know, our families can't be here. My crew is coming down on Saturday, be here for Sunday, but I can't see them. We can't give our kids hugs. So it's a little bit of a change, strange feeling from that end, not being able to share this with our staff's families.
Yeah, it's really tough, Coach. I think back to my tournament experience, and it's a celebration. I mean, your band is there, your fans are there, your family's there, and they're devoid of that luxury. It's tough. I look at this game versus Northwestern that you were able to survive and advance upon. It was the Blizzard defense. They turned you over 11 times. They generate 20 of them a game. You were able to settle in, only 5 turnovers the second half, took care of it, got what you wanted, won the game. Going into this one versus Oregon, what is it about Oregon that you have to do from start to finish, first quarter to the end of the fourth, in order to advance into this one to get to the Elite Eight?
Well, we're going to have to rebound the basketball. They're starting 6'7", 6'5", now, and really going big. So we're going to have to make sure everybody is dialed in. We've got to put a body on people. We've got to push them away from the basket when we box out. And then we're going to have to get our feet set and make open shots. With that size, we're going to have to use our quickness to counter that and make sure we get shots. It's one of the things I told the kids at a timeout. I mean, I've never claimed to be a genius at this profession, but I did tell them I realized one thing a few years back, that if you throw it to the other team, it's really difficult to score. So if we just try to throw it to ourselves, it might help that area out. And it was pretty impressive when we did decide to throw it to ourselves and watch these young women play.
Coach, Dana Evans has been such a sensational player and even a better person away from the court, but she has struggled shooting the basketball. But what other ways is she delivering that you may not see on the stat sheet?
Well, she's able to get by people. She's able to get by people and then create for others. You know, we don't have the hockey assist in women's basketball. So sometimes she'll make the pass, and all of a sudden that pass leads to the next one for a shot. And that's really what we've been talking about is, hey, you can impact this game at the defensive end of the floor by disrupting, by picking the ball up early, forcing them to start their offense higher out. And, you know, she works. She's continuing to work. She's in the gym and just trying to explain to her that this game, it's supposed to be fun. You know, you're out here playing it to fun, to have fun, and obviously win, but just to take some pressure off of her. She's a two-time All-American. She's two-time ACC Player of the Year. I told her, I said, there's nothing else for you to prove. So let's just go out here, play, and see how many more games we can win and enjoy it while you're doing it.
Coach, is there a level of fatigue? As much as we talk about enjoying it, naturally, you're playing for a championship. All eyes are on the sport come this time of the season. But understanding that they're in isolation, they're in a hotel, they can't just casually walk out the door and go take a stroll. Is there a level of fatigue that's setting in? I mean, of course, it's a celebration. You got another round to play. But in that comes even more discipline, even more isolation. Do you sense any of that wearing on your team? I'm sure it's wearing on you.
You know, I did a day or two ago, because we were here for like 6 days or before we even were able to play our first ball game. And, you know, the first two or three days you're excited, you're getting, you know, you're getting into a hotel, new surroundings. And then by day five, it's like, okay, it's time to play basketball. But now I see the excitement back. You know, I saw it last night after the ball game up in our team room when we were eating, just the discussions that they were having among each other. And then there's schoolwork. And that's one thing that I think a lot of people forget about. You know, I was talking with one of our players last night, and, you know, she was just like, Coach, I've got two exams on Friday. I've got a paper due on Thursday today. And it's not just playing basketball. They're trying to balance a lot of things, schoolwork, personal life, and basketball, and trying to make sure they're getting as much time with their family as they can on phone or FaceTime. Because, as I said, we can't see them at all. So there's a lot more to this than just rolling out a basketball and playing a game.
Coach, before we let you go, I would be remiss if I did not follow up with you. The last time we had a conversation, you were at a Ford dealership getting the Ford F-150 worked on. Everything turned out okay with that? Did we make sure the Kentucky grad didn't screw up the truck? Right? We're good?
Everything turned out. Everything turned out well. All the lug bolts were on the tires, so everything made it to work and back. So yes, I appreciate you asking.
Nick, I just want to, for as a Ford F-150 driver, I just want to make sure you're happy as a satisfied customer. That's all I'm concerned about.
Yes, sir.
You got it. Listen, keep up the great work. We appreciate the time.
Absolutely, Coach.
I appreciate, guys. So thank you, and go ACC. We got through three teams in the Sweet 16.
That's exactly right. Georgia Tech, Louisville, NC State, still alive and kicking.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I've reached heights that I never could have imagined as a boy growing up in the mountains of North Carolina. Nobody would have believed me back then if I told them. But like anyone that's truly lived, I've experienced disappointment and loss and came out stronger on the other side. Legacy isn't about a person, it's about people. Whether it's the family you're born into or the family you make along the way, I've met some incredible people that have shaped who I am during a career in college athletics spanning more than 50 years. So what's the book on me? Well, every book has chapters, and these are mine.
Tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, The Legacy of John Swofford. Should be good. Johnny, there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the ACC. We got you covered right here on ACC Network. The Legacy of John Swofford. And this has been his dream.
I mean, are you kidding me? I could have called Commish Johnny Swofford this whole time. I saw the news clipping there. The little football headline said Johnny Swofford. Man, Commish, I missed out on an opportunity to call the legend. Johnny Swofford. That sounds smooth. Oh, what a great guy. It's been an honor to work for him, his vision of this conference. And I told him this much when I saw him. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have a career at ESPN. The ACC Network was his vision. that role that I serve is because of his determination to make this happen. An absolute class act, a visionary, and I'm looking forward to watching the celebration tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, be very, very good. Be fun. And like you said, it's all about people, and then for John Swofford, that's exactly right. That relationship, that was one, I thought it, one of his strengths,
class.
Being a great listener, and he's one of the best I've ever met. All right, let's talk about some crazy stuff. There is a bakery in Syracuse, which I have not attended, and I plan on doing this next time we make a road trip. A place called Glazed and Confused, which I give them props for the
name. Great name.
All right, you love that. Glazed and Confused. But apparently they will not, let me emphasize, will not be able to sell donuts with Buddy Boeheim's face on it because of the infamous name, image, and likeness rules. I mean, have we reached the point of absurdity? Seriously. So there's the Buddy Donuts
right there.
Have
we reached the point? We've been here.
Yeah,
that's We've true. Been here, Pac. I mean, this is much more of the same. Those donuts look great.
Yeah, I could use about a dozen right now, to be honest with you. So that's not happening. So if you walk into Glazed and Confused this morning and go, man, I need a dozen of the Buddy Donuts, it's not happening. You know, that's the second. That's the second donut story that we've had here in March. We had, remember Roy Williams had a donut named after him at Dunkin' Donuts, right? Old Roy. And now we get this whole Buddy Boeheim donuts thing. So I don't know what's up with the donuts, but it's happening on that front. So there you go. All right. Before we get out of here, Josh and Drew, part of the Brain Trust, the smart people up in Bristol, have put together some numbers, Jordan, of your existence in the NCAA tournament. All right. You want to see these?
I'll see you later.
No, don't go anywhere. This is a Josh and Drew special, all right? And
unbelievable.
So they've decided just to do a breakdown of your production in the NCAA tournament games, and there you go. But the thing that
– pretty quick breakdown.
No, wait a minute. No, here's where they want to go. The thing that jumps out to you with this number and graphic that he put on the screen is not necessarily points per game, rebounds per game, block shots, the fouls per game. They were infatuated with the fact that, guess what? You get five, and for the most part, hey, I'm going to use them. How you roll?
That's true. Hey, I'm an enforcer, Pac. Somebody's got to be the one that goes out there and lays the wood when he has to if things get chippy. That's my role. I was a defensive guy. I had to bring – it's Notre Dame. It's finesse. It's guard you. I didn't take that bald head. That pretty good body of mine, which I would have felt comfortably showering with the lights on with, the goatee, and I didn't bring it. That game right there, Brian Cook, that was a Big Ten player of the year. We won that game in the round of 32 in Indianapolis to get to the Sweet 16. That's me crying after we lost to Luke Walton in the Sweet 16. But it was my idea. I said, fellas, let's shave our heads. I don't care how bad we look. Chris Thomas couldn't have looked uglier. He looked like mini-me with his head shaved, our point guard, an immense talent. And we shaved our heads, and it was our mentality. We're going to go out here and be bruisers. And the only good thing I did in that tournament, clearly, was I did pretty good defensively against Brian Cook, the Big Ten Player of the Year, and shut him down to allow us to advance. And every time I see Coach Bill Self, he always stops me and says, Cornette, it's your fault, although he's obviously embellishing. It's your fault I'm no longer at Illinois. Because they lost that game, then he ultimately took the job at Kansas. Had nothing to do with it, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like that. And by the way, speaking of enforcement, I guess when we start talking about the two men's games over the weekend coming up, Syracuse better get ready for enforcing that glass because they're going to get a dose of it from Houston. I mean, that's going to be the game within the game, isn't it? Rebounding.
Absolutely. You got to win the rebound battle in that one, Pac. You've identified it. And for Florida State, you got to be ready to battle down low with Hunter Dickinson and continue to defend like you've been defending.
All right, just a reminder tomorrow, Wake Forest basketball coach Steve Forbes will be my tag team partner. He'll make his debut as the co-host. We'll break it all down for you.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.